And if you consider yourself an adventurous eater, you're going to like our next guest, who has been trying for years to get Americans into food from his native land, Senegal, the West African country that is also home to NPR's international correspondent Ophébia Quist-Arctan. Pierre Thiam is based in New York, where he's owned and operated Senegalese restaurants, but he stopped by our studios with his new book, Senegal, Modern Senegalese Recipes from the Source to the Bowl. And he joins us now. Pierre, welcome.
Thank you.
And I want to start with, you know, a lot of listeners probably don't know much about Senegal. Of course, we know it's on the west coast of Africa. It is bordered by Mali and Mauritania and Gambia. But what should we know about Senegalese food?
Well, Senegalese food is unfortunately not very known, but in reality is very familiar, because when you look at Southern cuisine, there's a lot of similarities because of the influence of Senegalese cuisine, of West African cuisine. So you see a lot of grains. You know, because of the coastal, seafood is the main protein you'd see on a daily basis in Senegalese diet. The grains that you'd see would be rice primarily, but we also have millet, we have fonio, we have sorghum, and we use a lot of healthy vegetable superfoods, you know, like such as baobab, mango, and you also have leafy vegetables as well, like cassava leaves, black-eyed pea leaves, all those leaves that we use in our... And they could be substituted with what you have here, spinach or collard greens.
Well, let's go back to one of the things you just said, fonio. Uh-huh. Probably a lot of people don't know what that is. It's sort of a like a quinoa couscous sort of a thing.
Yes, it has the texture of couscous, but it's really what I would call Africa's best kept secret. You know, because it's been cultivated for 5,000 years. It's a gluten-free grain. It's drought resistant.
It's drought resistant.
It's drought resistant, and it grows on sand pretty much.
And it tastes good.
It tastes delicious. You're about to find out
good,
in a little while.
Good. We'll try some of that.
And another thing to note about fonio is it's probably one of the fastest maturing grain. It matures within 2 months, so you can have four seasons of fonio. It's just an amazing grain.
And can you find the ingredients that you need? If people pick up your book and want to make a Senegalese recipe, can they find these things in the U.S.?
Absolutely. At the end of my book, there's a source page that gives you all the places where you can get them. Some of them are online sources. But if you're lucky to live in areas like New York, there's always an African market where you can go and get the fonio as well.
All right. Well, there is right in front of me, while we're talking about fonio, there's a fonio mango salad. Is that what this is right here?
Yes, with lots of mint and parsley with a lime dressing.
Which, Ed, our listeners don't know this, but you have spent the last couple of hours here cooking up a storm, and our entire office wants to eat Senegalese food right now because it smells so good. But tell me about this this mango salad.
I wouldn't call it a traditional dish from Senegal. The book comprises two components. It's traditional recipes and modern recipes. So these are adapted recipes. That's a salad that was inspired from a tabbouleh. I used the local ingredients such as the mango, lots of parsley and mint to bring the flavor, and tomatoes.
And the texture of this fonio is really, really nice. It's very different. It's not like quinoa.
Indeed, indeed. It has a little bounciness to it and a nuttiness as well that you taste from the fonio.
Why is it that you want so badly to convince Americans that Senegalese food is what they ought to have?
Well, because I've been living in America for a quarter century now. And I realized the American consumer is conscious, is looking for a healthy aspect, is food. And this is what we have to offer. Our cuisine, as you see, most of the ingredients are what you would call now superfoods, you know. So, yes, I think Americans ought to try Senegalese food because of that. Also because of the fact that Senegalese food played a big role in American culinary horizon, the way that we brought some ingredients here, we brought some cuisines here. When you see Southern cuisine, for instance, gumbo is nothing but a Senegalese dish that we call super kanja. It's the same okra, laden-rich seafood over jasmine. I mean, rice, you know, we brought rice to America. You know, that's something that also is little known fact, but it's the fact that people from that area was targeted and brought to the Americas, to the Carolinas, to bring this rice culture. And that's also another.
And that came from Senegal as opposed to other countries in West Africa.
Actually, Senegal, Liberia, Sierra Leone, and Guinea, which are the rice growing areas of Africa. That's like the big rice region. And that's those people came from there. I traveled to the Carolina, to Gala Island. I want to speak well of to the people because they definitely are Senegalese in their aspect.
In your book, you also have a whole section of meat dishes. dishes, and I think you've got one of them right here in front of me, a lamb that you've prepared.
Yes, it's a lamb mafé I prepared today. I prepared it with a shank. The mafé is a peanut sauce. That's very popular.
A peanut sauce.
A peanut sauce that you would see pretty much throughout West Africa. Even in Central Africa, there's peanut sauce being used, you know. Interestingly, peanut has been an import to Africa. It's not even native of Africa. We have a grain that's close to it, and we call it groundnut. But the peanut itself came to Africa through the Colombian exchange. You like it?
I'm just tasting it now. It's delicious, yes.
Thank you, thank you. I served it with what we call jollof rice.
Jollof rice, which you should tell us about as well.
Well, jollof rice is a dish that's named after what used to be called the Jollof Empire, which was an area that took from Senegal to Mauritania, to some of Mali. And jollof rice is from the Jollof people, obviously. It's cooked in a broth with tomato and vegetables, and it has the funky element of like fermented conch and fermented locust bean that we use. I mean, if you don't have it, like today I didn't have any of those, I used Southeast Asian fish sauce that you can find in Chinatown or any good supermarket. And that brings that umami flavor now. That's a fermented flavor that adapts to the rice.
The peanut sauce is very different than a peanut sauce that you would taste on where I most commonly come across peanut sauces on Thai food.
And Thai food is completely different. Yeah, we have a different way of cooking it. We cook it very, very lightly. There's a tomato base and then lots of onions. If you don't have the original tigadege, which is what we call peanut butter, you can use good organic commercial peanut butter and use it and with a vegetable stock or a chicken stock and cook it slowly with the lamb cooking in it. That's what makes the flavor for that sauce.
Is this the kind of cooking that is going to frustrate an American chef, an amateur chef even, that it's going to be very difficult to do? Or is this the kind of thing that anybody could do?
Absolutely not. It's something that anybody can do, actually. Obviously, we have some of the recipes that are also more sophisticated, but most of this book is very, very user-friendly, and you'd find yourself just navigating through a whole new, different horizon of flavors, but in an easy way. It's just really not difficult at all to prepare Senegalese food.
I finally want to just ask you about you, because you came to this country and you ended up bussing tables in Manhattan instead of going to Ohio to study physics and chemistry, which was your plan.
Which was my plan until circumstances decided otherwise. You know, I came here, I was a student in physics and chemistry in Senegal at Dakar University. And I had to leave because they had a strike. There was a very turbulent year that year, the late 80s in Dakar, and the student movement was very strong. And that's how I got my student visa. On my way to Ohio, I decided to stop by New York and visit a friend, because you have to visit New York once in your lifetime. That was my opportunity. And that was a...
You never left.
I never left. I never left. I got stuck here. And the first job that came my way was a busboy job in the West Village, Garvin, it was called. And that changed the whole trajectory, because from the busboy position, I was able to see what was happening in the kitchen. And that was a cultural shock to me, because every single person in that kitchen were a male. You know, men in the kitchen was something I wasn't prepared to see coming from a country where cooking is a gender-based activity. I was fascinated, you know, because, you know, when you're from Senegal, you appreciate good food. But as a boy growing up, you don't think of cooking as a career, even though you appreciate, you're curious about it, because this is just part of the fabric of our life. But now I'm seeing these guys cooking. And the chef, luckily in that restaurant, he noticed my curiosity, how I was always spending as much time in the kitchen coming and like looking at these beautiful plates being prepared. And he offered me a dishwasher position from whenever I'm not doing busboy, I would be in the kitchen washing pots and pans. And it was really tough, but I thought I was really like having a great time looking at what was happening. And from dishwasher, I became a prep cook, just washing vegetables and peeling and chopping. And from prep, I went to garde-manger, salad, to the grill. And gradually, I moved to another restaurant, an Italian restaurant that opened in the same area in the village. Moved there, and I just gradually starting to own my scale. And the saucier, I was a saucier. And then I went to a French bistro that opened also in Soho at the time, Jean-Claude, adding now to that French background that I had growing up in Senegal because of our colonial past. And from Jean-Claude, I opened this new restaurant in Soho as well called Boom. And Boom changed the whole thing, because the Boom, it was ethnic cuisine. You know, the chef Jeffrey Murray was bringing flavors from like Southeast Asia, from North Africa. And I grew up from Boom to become their sous chef and then to become the chef de cuisine because Boom opened a new branch in Miami. So I was the one sent in Miami to run that kitchen. And running that kitchen, I was bringing Senegalese flavors now. The first dish I cooked actually was this peanut sauce, which was very popular that night as a special. And that's when I realized that it was time for me to bring African cuisine to the table.
And all this time you were still loving what you were doing, cooking, after all those experiences at all those restaurants.
I was loving it because I realized that cooking was something I had been doing even when I was studying physics and chemistry. Cooking is chemistry, and this is really the type of chemistry I was into. You know, I wasn't really into the labs and the whole, but I could understand the reaction of the food, the ingredients, because of my chemistry background, and I was loving it.
Well, Pierre Thiam, author of Senegal, Modern Senegalese Recipes from the Source to the Bowl, thank you so much for coming in.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.